And we're holding on page Lamed Ches in Brachos, Ois Nun Zayin. We quoted a couple of statements from Rabbi Bachinina Sava Meshmei de Rav. So as usual, the Gemara mentions a few other statements from him as well. So for Omar Rebbe, Rabbi Chanina Sava, or Rabbi Bachinina Sava, Meshmei de Rav, Kol She'efshalei Levakish Rachmim Al-Chaveroi, a person who is capable of davening for Rachmanus on behalf of another Yid, Ve'enim Avakish, and he's not davening for him. So another Yid is sick, let's say, and what? He doesn't daven for him. Nikra Choite, then he's called a sinner for that.
Wow.
Which actually, I mean, even Yaakov, page Lamed Ches, Ois Nun Zayin. Page Lamed Ches, Ois Nun Zayin. The point, and now even Yaakov softens it. It says that it means when a person knows that his chosim are enough, that his chosim are great enough, that his tefillah will actually help the other person. If he's not, then even Yaakov says, yeah, yeah, that's not called efshalo. So, in any case, Nikra Chotis is called a sinner. Shenema, as we find by Shmuel. So you have the speech that he gives the Jewish people after Shaul has been appointed as king. Most of that speech is in Aftorah, Parshas Korach. At the end of it, he says, this part is not in Aftorah. He says, Gamon Nochi, also I, after he tells them it's true that you've acted badly, but nevertheless make sure to keep on doing mitzvahs. And so he continues, Gamon Nochi, also I, Chalila li mechatoi l'Hashem, far be it from me, it would Chalila li means literally it would be chulin, it would be a profane thing for me to do, mechatoi l'Hashem, to sin against Hashem, mechadoi li spalo badchem, to hold back from davening for you. So we see, in other words, that Shmuel was saying, in effect, if I were to hold myself back from davening on behalf of you Jewish people, then I would be called a choite, and therefore I'm not going to do that. So
you have the neshama and the power, you have to do it for the other.
You have to do it for the other. You have to do it for the other person.
Even in a situation that we're
The Rif has a very long explanation over here where he points out. I mean, can't you say the Gemara is going to mention soon in a different statement of Rav Chinin Asavas that maybe a tzibur is different than a yachid, so maybe over here for the tzibur it's different. And he goes into a whole long analysis of the psukim over there. The gist is that he's explaining that after all, Shaul is telling them, look, you guys did wrong by choosing a king in the first place. You should have realized Hashem is the king. You should have realized I'm still the shofet. And
okay.
You should have realized I'm still the shofet, and it's chutzpah to go and tell me you're not good enough. We need a king. Nevertheless, I'm still going to daven on your behalf. So therefore, we see, in other words, that even though maybe you guys haven't done what you're supposed to, nevertheless, I'm not going to reciprocate by being a chote, because if I were to not do so, then that's what I would. Omar Rava, so Rava continues, Im Tamid Chacham Hu, if the person who needs help from Hashem is not just any regular person, but Tamid Chacham, then it's not just enough to daven on his behalf. Tzorech She'yachla Atzmei Olav, the person who's davening and asking for Rachmanus on his behalf has to make himself sick over him. He has to push it feel like a push it feel like he's sick.
Wow.
With worry about the Tamid Chacham.
Wow.
So, Ian Yaakov brings in this connection, the idea that, maybe he means not literally that he has to feel sick, but in other words, he should feel very, very bad. Ian Yaakov brings in this connection. We find, for example, when Nadav and Avihu passed away, that Hashem tells Aaron and his sons, you're not to do Avelus, because you're Kohenim who are being inaugurated that day, but the rest of the Jewish people will bewail it, because everybody has to participate in the Tzara of a Tamid Chacham. So in that sense, that's what the Gemara is saying over here as well. So the Gemara asks, my timer, what's the reason, meaning where do we get this from? Where's a pasuk that shows that? Ilema mashum dechtiv, are you going to say it's based on a pasuk in Tilim, a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel also? So later on in the story, you have Shaul has been chasing after David all over the place. And at one point, we know there was the part where David went to Noiv Irakoyanim and he got food over there and he got a sword and so forth. So later on, Shaul is complaining to his men. He says, I don't understand what's going on over here. How is it all of you seem to be on David's side that nobody is sticking up for me and telling me when there are people who are in cahoots with David? So he says, Ve'en chola mikem alai, none of you seem to be sick over me. Ve'en gola es ozni, nobody is uncovering my ear, which is an expression meaning like to tell me what's going on. So no, I, nobody's telling me what's going on. So we see he's using the expression, in other words, that he expects that they should be sick on his behalf. Now, Shaul was a Talmid Chacham. So does that show maybe that you that's the case? But the Gemara says, Joma Melech Shaini. Maybe it's different in the case of a king. Yeah, with a king, he's on a higher level. So therefore, we have to actually feel sick on his behalf when he's in trouble. But maybe that doesn't apply to a regular Yid, even a Talmid Chacham. Ela Mehacha. No, rather, we're going to learn it from a different Pasuk in Tilling. David says on himself, "Va'ani." Before that, in the psukim before that, he's describing his enemies, in particular Doeg and Achitofel, who even though they had bad midas, they were the Doeg in particular was the one who said lashon hara against him to Shaul. Nevertheless, they were Talmid Chachamim. And so David describes, "Va'ani." As far as me, "Vachaloisam." When they were sick, "Levushi sok." I would wear sackcloth. In other words, I would be pleading with the Eivishter to help them out. Now, where do you have, Marsha says, where do you have that he feels sick on their behalf? Bachaloisam means when they're sick. But the answer is, he says, because the Pasuk ends off, the same Pasuk ends off, Usfilosi al Cheki Soshu. Usfilosi, yeah. Usfilosi al Cheki Soshu. You know, I once saw a vert, just to digress a second, I once saw a vert when it says, somebody once said a vote the same way. If a person was dead, he wouldn't be taking phone calls. So the same way, that's how I'm doing. So
that was my wife. I didn't
tell her. I understand. That's all right. Okay, anyway. So let's go on. Anyway, so the point is, Marsha says, since the Pasuk ends, Usfilosi al Cheki Soshu, which means my tefillah returns to my bosom, that means, in other words, he's saying, in effect, I'm davening on my own behalf, because it's not just that they're sick, I feel sick on their behalf, and that's because I'm davening so hard for them, and therefore my tefillah is bouncing back to me that I need it for myself to be healed as well. So we see that David is feeling sick. And remember, again, these people are not just, they are Talmid Chachamim. On the other hand, they're Talmid Chachamim with, unfortunately, very bad midas. They're among the people who lost their place in Olam Haba and so forth, and still he's saying that he would feel sick when they're in trouble. So that's where we learn it from. Another one, a person who does an Avera and later on he's embarrassed of it. The result of that embarrassment, that he was embarrassed over the Avera he did, is Hashem forgives him for all his Averas.
Wow.
Meaning, in other words, now, even Yaakov points out, I mean, it might still be that he gets what he needs to get in this world. The example we're going to bring over here in the end, the Gemara is going to bring from Shaul. He got a certain punishment in this world. He was killed in battle. Later on, even his descendants were killed by the Givonim. But we're talking about at least that he's saved from punishment in Olam Haba. As a result of his embarrassment over his aveda.
But didn't Shaul want it intentionally to be killed by?
Hold on. No, he didn't. No,
he didn't intentionally give himself.
No. Wait. We'll get to it soon. Shenemar. So because the pasuk before we get to Shaul, because the pasuk says. The Yechezkel says at the end of a long nevuah where he's been criticizing the Jewish people very severely for their averus, he says eventually l'man tizkiri, in the end Hashem is going to save you from golos. Hashem is going to take you out of golos. L'man tizkiri, in order that you'll remember, vavoished, and you'll be embarrassed. You won't have any reason to open your mouth anymore, meaning like this. In Golos, we sometimes have a reason to complain. It seems that Hashem is treating us much, much more harshly than we deserve. Then Hashem says, when it comes to the Moshiach HaMashiach, we're going to realize that, no, it's not like that at all. We're not going to have any reason to open our mouth against Hashem. Mipnei kli mosich, because of your embarrassment, he says, v'chapri loch al l'chol asher osis ne'um Hashem alekim, because I will forgive you. I will atone for you for everything that you did. So says Hashem alekim. So in other words, the implication is because of the vavosh, because they're embarrassed, because of the kli mosich, the humiliation, therefore Hashem is saying, I will forgive all your avers. So the problem the Gemara says is Dilmot Tzibur Shiny, but maybe that's different. The Tzibur is different. Hashem treats the Tzibur generally much more leniently. So maybe for them, being embarrassed for their Averis is enough. How do we know it applies to a Yochid as well? So Ela Mehacha. Rather, we can answer it, rather we can prove it from the following. So we have another story involving Shaul. So we have the story of Shaul and the witch. He has to go fight another battle against the Plishtim on Har Gavoya. He's very nervous about it. He asks the Nevi'im, no answer. He asks the Umatumim, no answer. He asks to a Shailas Cholim, no answer. And finally, in desperation, he goes to the famous Ashes Balasov, the famous witch over there, and asks her to use her magic, to bring up Shmuel's spirit. And then she does, and then and he and Shmuel have a whole conversation. So the pasuk says, "Vayoma Shmuel Oshol Lomahu Gaztani Lahalisa." See, why have you made me tremble or angry to bring me up? You have even the trembling. By the way, the Gemara elsewhere mentions, I think in Chagiga, that when Shmuel hears that he's being summoned, he didn't know. He thinks he's being summoned in front of the Beis Din Shamayla or something. So he actually brought along Moshe Rabbeinu with him to vouch for him that he did everything he was supposed to. So therefore, so here Gaztani, you made me very nervous. Lahal Esoisi, to bring me up. Vayoma Shol, and Shol says, Tsarli Ma'od, I'm in big trouble. O Plishtim Nilchomim Bi, the Plishtim are fighting against me. Vashem Sorme Olai, Hashem has left me, Hashem has abandoned me. Veloy Anoni Oid is not answering anymore. Gam Biyad Nevi'im, Gam B'chalomis, neither through the Nevi'im nor through dreams. V'ekra Elacha Lohidi Eni Ma'asa, so I called for you in desperation to see what I should do. Now, you notice, the Ilu Urim B'tumim like Ka'amar. Now, Shaul did not. Now, there were three things that Shaul had tried. He tried Nevi'im, he tried the Urim V'Tumim, and he tried dreams. Here, when he's talking to Shmuel, he leaves out that he asked the Urim V'Tumim. Which, by the way, at that point in history, the Urim V'Tumim weren't even anywhere near Shaul. David, actually, after Noiv Ir HaKoyanim had been wiped out, which we're going to talk about in a second, Evyoser, the one remaining Koyan from that family, from that city, ran away to David's camp, and he brought the Urim V'Tumim with him. So now, evidently, if Shaul asked the Urim V'Tumim, means he had to temporarily bury the hatchet with David and be willing to send somebody to David to ask. But anyway, the point is, now when he's mentioning the Shaul to Shmuel, he leaves that point out.
Did you want to say
something
about the Urim
V'Tumim? No, the Urim V'Tumim is, so you have the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol. Inside it, you have, inside the fold of it, they put a parchment with names of Hashem on it. And the idea was, so the Urim V'Tumim, the name of Hashem, that parchment with the name of Hashem was almost like, you could think of almost like a battery in an appliance or something. It made it work. With that in, then as long as also the Kohen Gadol had Ruach HaKodesh, then you would ask a question to the Kohen Gadol, then and he would answer the letters on the Urim V'Tumim would light up to spell out a message, and then the Kohen Gadol would transmit it to the person.
That's powerful.
Yeah. So now in this particular case, the Kohen Gadol of Yosser was actually in David's camp, far away from Shaul, but nevertheless, still Shaul in desperation sent somebody to ask, and he got no answer. But now when he's talking to Shmuel and telling him all the different methods he tried, he does not mention the Urim V'Tumim. Why? Mishum to Katle the Noiv Ir HaKoyanim. And the reason is because he had wiped out Noiv Ir HaKoyanim. So he was embarrassed of that. So he, in fact, Rashi says he was embarrassed. If he says, I asked the Urim V'Tumim, then Shmuel would tell him, well, of course you didn't get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim. You killed the Koyanim of Noiv. What do you expect? So that embarrassment was saying it was Moichel, on his Avedis. So the question is, okay, so how do we know then that Minashmayim, they did forgive him for that Avera? So Shenema, because the pasuk continues, Vayema Shmuel Oshol, that Shmuel tells Shaul what's going to happen. You're going to go to battle against the Plishtim, and you're going to lose, and so forth, and you and your sons are going to be killed. And he says, Mocher ata uvanecha imi. Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. And what does with me mean? In particular, it can't mean they're actually buried in the same place, the Rif points out. They're actually, Shmuel is buried in the city of Roma, where he lived, as we learned yesterday or the day before. Shaul was buried in the city of Yavish Gilad in Eber HaYarden. So what does Imi mean? It's Imi b'mchitzas. Shmuel is saying, you'll be with me in my area of Gan Eden. So the fact that he gets to be together with Shmuel in Gan Eden shows that Hashem forgave him for that Aver. So Marsha says, okay, that shows that he was forgiven for that particular Avera. How does that show? We said all of his, first of all, actually Marsha says, really the question is, where do we see exactly that he was Niskaper because of his embarrassment? Maybe the Eibishter forgave him for some other reason. So Marsha points out, really, when you think about it, Shaul only did two things wrong. He had left alive Agag and some of the Amalekim.
Yeah.
And in this case over here, he had killed the Kohanim of Nod. The one of Agag, he had already gotten his punishment. The kingship had been taken away from him. So now all that was left was the Aveda of Nod. So now, if we're saying that he gets to be Imi B'mechitzasi with Shmuel, then it must mean that that Aveda was forgiven. The Rif goes into a very, very long analysis of the whole thing, including analyzing the psukim and so on and so forth. The one thing he points out is that Shmuel did actually hint in his words to Shmuel, in his words to Shmuel, he did hint at the fact that he had used the Urim V'Tumim, but he didn't say it outright because of the embarrassment. So you can't say, in other words, that he didn't mention it at all out of fear that Shmuel would call him out on it, because then he wouldn't have even hinted to it. So therefore, that shows that it wasn't just that he's embarrassed, like Rashi says, that Shmuel is going to call him out on it, but rather that he really was embarrassed for having killed Novir Akonim altogether. And he goes on to discuss at some length how we see from that Hashem forgave him for all his Averis. The truth is, even though Marsha is saying that he had only two Averis, there is actually a medrash that lists altogether five Averis that Shaul did. You have the killing Novir Akonim, there's the matter with Amalek, there's another earlier time when he disobeyed Shmuel and didn't wait long enough in another battle with Plishtim. Another one is this, that he went and consulted with this Ishus Balasoi, which is against the Torah. It's interesting, by the way, that the Medrash does not list over there the fact that he listened to that Lashon Hara against David. Because after all, he had, as far as he's concerned, the sources that he's hearing it from, Doeg in particular, are unimpeachable sources. He figures whatever they tell you, must be correct. So he genuinely thought that David is a danger to him and his kingship, and a danger to the Jewish people, B'chlal, and therefore even the Medrash, as much as it's cataloging all those Averis, doesn't list that. Anyway, the point is, the point seems to be then, given that if he's Imi B'mchitzasi with Shmuel, we have to say then that all of those Averis must have been cleaned up. Otherwise, fine, he has a place in Gan Eden, but not necessarily with Shmuel. So that shows that it must be because of this embarrassment of his. Then the Gemara continues. So that's one way of learning that a person is embarrassed because of his avera, then Hashem forgives him for it. Another one that Abbanan say we can learn from a different pasuk, also involving Shaul later on. Much later on, towards the end of Shmuel Beis, you have the story with the Givonim. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. David asks the Urim V'Tumim. The answer comes back when Shaul had wiped out Novir HaKohanim, then the Givonim were also harmed by it. The Bavli says that no Givonim were actually killed, but they lost their livelihood because they were supposed to be Chot Ve'etz and V'Shoi Ve'mayim. They were wood choppers and water drawers for the Mishkan. And once the Mishkan was moved from Noiv and the Kohanim there were killed, then they lost their Parnasa. The Yerushalmi says seven of them were actually killed in the crossfire. Whatever it is, many years later now, you have this famine in Eretz Yisrael. And David is told it's because of the Givonim, because they still have a claim that has not been satisfied. So David goes to them. To make a long story short, they demand seven of Shaul's descendants to be handed over to them that they can kill. David tries to talk him out of it. He can't. That's a whole story in itself. Anyway, the point is, the Pasuk says, when the Givonim are making this demand, they said, we want seven of Shaul's descendants, v'hikanum l'Hashem, we will hang them up before Hashem, b'givas Shaul, in the hill of Shaul, which was where Shaul's capital city had been, b'chir Hashem, the chosen one of Hashem. Now, the Givonim are certainly not calling Shaul B'chir Hashem. They hate him. They have it against him. They're trying to kill his descendants. Why would they call him by an honorable title like B'chir Hashem? It means that the Rabbanan say that when they spoke of Shaul, a Baskel came out and called out, you should know that he is B'chir Hashem. He is the chosen one of Hashem. So don't trifle with him. So we see, in other words, also that he can be called by such a tremendous title as B'chir Hashem, shows that he must have been completely forgiven for his avenus. And again, where are we getting that from? Because we see that he was embarrassed over the matter of wiping out Novir HaKohanim and the after effects of that. Okay. We talked about yesterday, the Gemara had said that the Chachamim thought to put, that the Chacham thought to add Aseres HaDibros to the daily Krishma. We said in the Bismikdash, they actually did say the Aseres HaDibros as part of when the Kohanim would say parts of Krishma in the morning, in the middle of the Avodah, then they would actually say the Aseres HaDibros as well. We don't, because of the concern that the Goyim are going to use that to claim to Amir Oretz that only that is the Torah that was given to Moshe and not the rest of it. So now the Gemara mentions another thing. Amar of Abahu ben Zutrasi, Amar of Yehuda bar Zvida, Bikshu the Kboya parashas Bolak, the Krishma. The Chum also thought to put the parasha of Bolak in Kriya Shema, in the daily Kriya Shema, for reasons that we're going to talk in a second. So why did the Chacham not do that? Because of the Tircha for the Tzibur. The parasha of Balak is an awfully long parasha, and therefore it's not, it's 100, no, the whole thing. Okay, even if we say we're only going to limit it to Bilam's brachas, it's still several dozen psukim, and the Chacham didn't want to be matriyachas. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's special about the parasha of Balak that the Chacham wanted to put it, that the Chacham thought to put it in Kurishma? Are you going to say, because it has the pasuk in it, where Bilam says, Hashem, who took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So you're going to say, this way we have an opportunity to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. So what? The Gemara says, Lema parashas Ribis or parashas Mishkolos. So instead, we could be saying the parasha of Ribis, where it says, Ani Hashem Alekeichem, or the parasha of Mishkolos, of having honest weights and measures, where it also says, Ani Hashem Alekeichem, Asher Hetzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Both of those also, it speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if you're just looking for a passage in Torah that mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim, then use one of those. Why even talk about Parashas Balak, which is much longer in it? Because you have in it the following pasuk, Korash, in Parashas Balak, Korash Shochav Kari, Balak said, Bilam says about the Jewish people, they crouch down and they lie down like a lion, which is similar to Uchalavi Mi Kimenu, and like a lioness, who can make them stand up? So that means that's similar to Uvashoch Bacho Kumecha. So Rashi explains, in other words, the bracha is that he's saying that he's complimenting the Jewish people on the fact that Hashem protects us when we go to sleep and when we get up in the morning. So like a lion goes to sleep peacefully and wakes up peacefully. So therefore, so that has directly to do with Krishna. In fact, on the pasuk, Rashi mentions also that we say that it also connects with the that we say Krishna in the evening and Krishna in the morning. So it actually has directly to do with saying Krishna. So therefore, it would be a very appropriate thing to say. Okay. So the Gemara, but again, we said they didn't do it because it would be a tirch. So the Gemara asks, "Valei mahay pesukah betulai." Okay, so what's the big deal? You say that one pasuk, and that's the end of it. Why worry about that? It's such a long parasha. And the answer is gemiri, because we have the Kabbalah. Kol parasha de paska Moshe Rabbeinu ol b'sholem paskinan. Any parasha, and here we mean by a parasha, we mean a parasha pesukah or stoma that Moshe Rabbeinu divided, that we have in the Torah, there's a break, parasha pesukah or stoma between one and the other paskinan. Then we can break it up and we can say it as a separate unit in davening. Deloitte Pascha, Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, like Paskinon, where there's not a parasha break, then we can't break it up ourselves. So therefore, now, that doesn't apply necessarily when we have psukim. We have all over the place, we have individual psukim from Chumash that are used, derech tchina or something, that we have them in the course of davening as a plea to Hashem. But here, we're talking about to say it as a unit of davening, it has to be an entire parasha. If you look in the Sefer Torah, if you look in the Tikkun Torah, in Parashas Balak, from the beginning of the parasha until the end of Bilam's last bracha, until the end of his nevuah about Mashiach, there's no break in the Torah throughout that entire section. So you'd have to be saying close to 100 psukim in order to include this one parasha, in order to include this one pasuk, and the Chacham didn't want to be matriach people to do that.
Makes sense.
The Mishnah goes on. This Mishnah, of course, we're all familiar with it. It's in the Haggadah. Maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim Balaylas. We have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by night, also meaning the parasha of Tzitzis, which the point is, Rashi points out, nighttime is not Zman Tzitzis. So you could argue during the day, of course, you have to say the parasha of Vayom or the parasha of Tzitzis, because you're wearing Tzitzis, so you have to say it. But by night, it's not the time to wear Tzitzis anyway. So tackle why. Amar Abulaz Ben Azariah. Here I'm like 70 years old. We have a famous story, which is later on in Or Masechta, about how he was appointed Rosh Hashiva at a very young age, and the Eivishter made a nest, and his beard turned, his beard got streaks of white, and he looked like he was 70. Incidentally, you have the explanation that Rebbe gives on it in one of the sichas that you can find in the back of the Fat Haggadahs that it brings from, I think, from Kisvei HaRizal or something, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was actually a Gugel of Shmuel HaNavi,
really?
Where Shmuel lived to be 52, and therefore, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is 18, his neshama has already accomplished 70 years of avodah in the world, and that Rebbe derives from that the same kind of idea. Then when we talk about that ours is the generation of Mashiach, so how are we supposed to accomplish it on our own? But the answer is because we bring with us all of the mice and tovim that were done in all the previous generations before us, just like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is bringing in what was accomplished by Shmuel in his previous Gugel.
Amazing. Yeah, we're standing on the giant's back.
So we're standing with the midget standing on the giant's shoulders, as the famous expression goes, yeah. Right? Anyway, so he says, here I am, like 70 years old. I was not zoicha that Yitzias Mitzrayim should be said by night. Now, there's two ways of understanding the word lo zochisi. One is it can mean he's saying that I argue that Yitzias Mitzrayim should be said by night, and the other Chachamim disagreed and said you don't have a source for that. So, and therefore you shouldn't have to do it. The other way of understanding lo zochisi is everybody agrees that you have to. But he was saying I didn't manage to find a pasuk to substantiate it. So everybody agreed, but they said you don't have a makor for it. The din is a din, but you don't have a makor for it. And I wasn't able to convince them that I have a valid source for it. Ad shedrosha ben zoyma until ben zoyma darshin it. Shenema, the pasuk says leman tizkor siem tzeischam eretz mitzrayim keil yemei chayecha. You should remember in order that you should remember the day when you left Mitzrayim all the days of your life. Yemei chayecha yomim. So the word yemei chayecha by itself would just mean the daytimes. Keil yemei chayecha halelos. And when it adds the word kol, it means the nights as well. Which, by the way, Marsha says. So in that case, then according to that, so what's the point? We're saying if it only said yemei chayecha, then we would think it meant only the daytime. So don't say kol yemei chayecha at all. Just say leman tizko, same says from the time, and have done with it. And we would understand that it means that you have to remember it all the time. Fakert, when you have yemei chayecha, then you need the word kol in order to explain that it means the nights as well. So why bother with the phrase at all? Mm-hmm. And so Marsha explains because we learned a couple of weeks back that. The geula from Mitzrayim had a couple of stages. It started in the nighttime. It started at Chatzos when Makas Bechoras and Pare is running in the streets in his pajamas and telling them Kumutzu Mitzrayim. And then you have when did they actually leave the next morning? So when did they actually leave only the next morning? So if it didn't say you may at all, then you wouldn't know whether you have to. The fact is, the main geula was by day. That's when we actually left Mitzrayim. Therefore, we do need the word. Therefore, we do need something to tell us that it takes place by night as well. So that's the next one. Bacham disagree with Ben Zoyma, and they say you may chayecha means ha'olam hazeh. Kol means lahobi lemosa mashiach. There's the famous vote that everybody says on the line in the Haggadah, Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi L'Mos Mashiach, that all the days of your life should be towards the goal of bringing the days of Mashiach. And here in the Mishnah, we don't have the words Yemei Chayecha, so that tzrek is missing. But anyway, again, Marashal says, the point is, the Chachamim are saying you don't, given it precisely that, given that the main Yitziah was by day, you Taka shouldn't need to say it by night. Instead, the kol is teaching you that you also have to mention Mashiach, that you also have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, Limosa Mashiach. So they're saying, so again, there's different ways of explaining what the Chachamim mean. Are they saying that Marsha is saying that they're saying, in fact, according to us, we would hold, like the way the Chachamim held originally, you don't have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim, Balelos. Elamai, what is the kol adding? Lahavi Limosa Mashiach. The other way of understanding is the Chachamim say, you don't even need a limud for the night. Automatically, given that the Yitzias Mitzrayim had those stages by day and by night, then automatically, yes, you have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim by both. So you don't even need the word kol for that. So then, what is the kol teaching you? Limosa Mashiach. So now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. So now, what are the Chachamim saying? They're saying that the word kol is teaching us Limosa Mashiach, not like Ben Zoyma is saying that we need it in order to teach us by night. So Ben Zoyma asked them, "B'chimas kirim Yitzias Mitzrayim leMos Mashiach? B'chlal, are we going to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? Ba'aloik v'nema, don't you have a pasuk that says, 'Hine yomim boim ne'um Hashem'? Behold, days are coming when Mashiach comes," says Hashem. V'lo yom ru'od chay Hashem ashehelos b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. People will no longer say by the life of Hashem, which is a lashon of a shvua, like this. People would swear by the life of Hashem. So no longer will people say not even the life of Hashem. Actually, the Rambam points out the difference between Chai Hashem and Chei Hashem. By a human being, you always say Chei. For example, you have Yosef uses Chei Pare by the life of Pare, because Pare and his life are two different metzias. The Eibishter himself is his life. Who v'dayte or binase etc. Kol Echad. So Chai Hashem means Hashem is alive. In other words, the metzias of Hashem, to the extent that we can understand, is that he is the source of life. Anyway, so Chai Hashem, Asher Helas B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, people will no longer say that they're swearing by as Hashem lives, who brought the Jewish people up out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Ki im Chai Hashem. Instead, what are they going to say? As Hashem lives, Asher Hela v'Asher Hevi Aserah B'Yisrael Me'eretz Tzafoina, that he brought up and he brought in the seed of Beis Yisrael, all the Jewish people, Me'eretz Tzafona, from the northern land, meaning Bavel, when we call Ha'aretz, Asher Yidachtim Sham, and from all the other lands where I dispersed them. So in other words, the Navi is saying, in Hashem's name, that La'asid Lavoi, we're not going to even be mentioning, we're not even going to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim anymore. We're going to be focusing on the Geula Amitis Vashlema. So then in that case, Ben Zoma is saying, what are you telling me that Kol Yimei Chayecha Lahavi L'Moshe Mashiach? L'Moshe Mashiach, it won't be necessary to mention Tzias Mitzrayim anymore.
Because Tzias Mitzrayim is tougher to the Yemot.
That's what the Chumma right. answer. Now, the Rashba has a very long explanation over here where he says that he says, Achokim Aleinu, those who argue against us, for Pashtus, he means the Christians, argued that here you seem to have a proof, and he brings, there's several other places in Shas also, where it seems that the Chachamim are telling us that mitzvahs are only for a certain period of time, and eventually they expire.
Now that talks about.
It is one of the big things that they held of, that the mitzvahs were only for a certain period of time, and then that when their guy came along, then now mitzvahs are no longer needed to be in effect. So that Ashba, of course, has to deal with that. So he says, no, you're misunderstanding. We're not saying that like this. What he says, what's the idea? The mitzvahs of Pesach and the mitzvahs of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim are meant in order to remind you of that ness. But it's not, in other words, that when you don't have to remember the nest anymore, then you don't need to do these things. You're always going to need to do these things. You're always going to need to eat matzah on Pesach, matzah and morer and korban Pesach and so forth. Even if, because it's fakert. He says, when it says, l'man tizko, yitzias mitzrayim, it means every day you have to mention yitzias mitzrayim. And l'man, in order that, it's not in order that you should remember, it's not that you do these things in order that you should remember yitzias mitzrayim, implying that if you don't need to remember yitzias mitzrayim anymore, as Ben Zoma is saying is going to be lost in love, then you don't need to do the mitzvahs of Pesach. Okay, you need to do the mitzvahs of Pesach regardless, because the Eibishter has said so. What are you accomplishing with that is that you're able to remember yitzias mitzrayim. But even if you don't have a need to remember yitzias mitzrayim anymore, you still have to do that. So the same thing he says, in other words, over here, when we're talking about that that Ben Zoma is saying, you're not going to need to mention Yimos Mashiach. You're not going to need to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yimos Mashiach, because you remember it anyway. You won't need to constantly remind yourself of it. So therefore, the reminder will still be there, and therefore the Maisa Mitzvah. So in other words, he goes on to say with this and with several other things, we talk about mitzvahs, Talos, Loss, and Lava. So it doesn't mean, in other words, he goes on to explain at some length over here that it doesn't mean the mitzvahs are going to be bottle in the sense that they come with an expiration date, but rather that the mitzvah will still be done, but it'll have a different purpose at that point. Yeah, you're mentioning a sicha where it ever talks about that the first of all, there's different periods in Yimos HaMashiach, and there's a period when, anyway, we're not when the Gashmiistic world around us is on a much higher level anyway. And at that point, we can say that mitzvahs, Taylor's loss of love, because the Gashmiistic world that those mitzvahs are designed for is not going to exist anymore.
But you'll still be doing them
on a higher level. You'll be doing them on a pneumistic level. So the Ben Zoma is saying to the Chachamim, you can't possibly say that the Kol Yimei Chayecha means Vahavi the Moshe Mashiach, because the Moshe Mashiach won't be necessary to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day.
But Yitzias Mitzrayim is an integral part of the Tid Lavo.
Amru Loi, so the Chachamim answered Ben Zoma, Loi Shita Oku Yitzias Mitzrayim and Mekayma. No, that's not what the Pasuk means. It doesn't mean that Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be uprooted from its place. In other words, we're not going to mention anymore. El Shibu Goliath Iker, it means that at that point, the fact that Hashem took us out of the various other Goliaths after that will be the most important thing. Yitzias Mitzrayim Tofa Loi, and Yitzias Mitzrayim will be of secondary importance. So we'll still mention it, but we'll still have a mitzvah to mention it and to remember it, but it'll fade in importance to compare to the Gula Amitis.
But you can't have the Gula Amitis atid without the Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Understood. Okay. Well, that's what the Chacham are saying. Okay. It still will be there, but compared to the Gula Amitis, it's going to be tough.
Okay.
Marsha, by the way, mentions an interesting point over here. Why by the Asher Hel of, why by the Gula from the Eretz Tzafon, why is it using this double expression, Asher Hel of Asher Hev? Whereby it sees the time, it just uses the word Ashahel. So he says, there's two things. First of all, by the Gola Amitis Vashleim, we're going to have Tchias Ames, which we didn't have by Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Right.
Now we just finished Masechet Ksubos, which talked about this. There is, by the way, after Ma'ariv at 7:30, Bez Hashem, there will be a Siyum, so everybody is invited to that. So it talks above there about Tchias Mesim, and it mentions the point that the Mesim Shabachutz La'aretz are going to go through tunnels and come to Eretz Yisrael and then pop out of the ground there. So that's the Vasher Hel of Vasher Hevi, that it's not just that Hashem is bringing the Jewish people out of Golos, but Hashem is bringing all the Mason from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael to be revived over there.
Even though it's painful.
It may be painful, but actually, yeah. But also he adds also the Zera Beis Yisrael, because we know what's one of the purposes of Golus. First of all, he says two things. When they pop out of the ground, it'll be like the way seeds pop out of the ground. Closed, I guess, in the future.
Ridiculous of this ambulance.
Yeah, I don't know. You keep the window closed in the future, I think. Anyway. The point is, the Gemara mentions over there the idea that when the mason come out of the ground, there'll be like seeds sprouting forth from the ground.
Right,
so right. Therefore, the word zera is very appropriate for that. Second of all, Maharsha says one of the purposes of Golus, we know lo hegla kodesh baruch hu Yisrael ela kodeshi tvas valem geirim, so that geirim will be added to the Jewish people, meaning both geirim in the simple sense, poshet goyim will become Jews, and also al kabbalos the various sparks of kedusha that we extract from the whole world. So therefore, so that all that can be described as zera, like Hashem, so to speak, planted us in Golus in order to reap a harvest of geirim and of sparks of kedusha. So therefore, that's why the word zera beis Yisrael is being used in connection with the Gola from this Golus. So anyway, so the Chachamim are saying the point is it's not that Yitzias Mitzrayim won't be mentioned anymore. It's just in importance it'll be overshadowed by the Gola from the later Golus. Kayotze bayata omer. The Chachamim say you have a similar example. Lo yikore od shimcha Yaakov. Hashem tells Yaakov, your name will no longer be called Yaakov. Ki Yisrael yeshmecha. Instead, your name will be Yisrael. And we know that means lo she yaakov Yaakov mekaymer. Doesn't mean that the name Yaakov is being uprooted. He's never being called Yaakov again. El Yisrael. It means from now on, his main name is Yisrael. But the Yaakov tofa loyim Yaakov is secondary. So the same way, when it says lo yoimru od chay Hashem shehelos bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim, doesn't mean that we'll never mention it again. It just means that it'll be a secondary importance.
Right.
And the Chum continue, V'chein hu omer, you have a similar thing that's expressed in another passage. The Navi says to the Jewish people, Al tizkeru rishonis, don't remember the earlier things, the first things, v'kadmonius al tisbonyanu, and don't pay attention to the earlier things. So the double expression, Al tizkeru rishonis zu shibud goliath, that means you're not going to remember the subjugation in the previous goliaths of Bavel and Modai and Poras and Modai and Yavon. But Kadmonius Alpis Bononu is Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're not really going to pay attention to the Kadmonius, to the even more ancient things, namely Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Why not?
Because he continues, the next part, the pause continues, Hinani Osa Chadosha, because Hashem is saying, now I'm going to create a new thing, Ata Titzmach, now it's going to grow forth. And Tony Rav Yosef, Zu Mochamas Gog Magog, so this refers to Mochamas Gog Magog, so that will overshadow all of the previous things.
But can't we learn from history, though?
We can learn from history. But in other words, the Hashem is saying, when Mochamas Gog Magog happens, then you're not even going to really pay attention to, you're not even going to really pay so much attention to the fact that Hashem took us out of the previous Golus, because Mochamas Gog Magog will overshadow all of that.
But the Rebbe said
wait.
We could have already gone through Gog Magog.
Yeah, fine. Okay, so then, okay. So what is it? Yeah, you were talking about, in other words, the troubles. Here, what the Gemara is saying is the troubles of Milchemes Gog Magog will overshadow the other troubles of the previous Golias, to the extent that people won't really be focusing on and talking about what happened in the previous Golias because they'll be so absorbed in that. So the Gemara says, Moshal Ma Davar Doma, what is this like? The Odom Shoy Mahalach Baderach, a person was walking on the road, or Poga by Ze'ev, he meets up with a wolf, Venitzel Mimenu, and then he was saved from the wolf, and as he's walking along, anybody he meets, he's telling them of this amazing thing that the Eivishta helped him and saved him from the wolf. Then Poga by Ariv, Venitzel Mimenu, then he met up with a lion and was saved from it also, now he's talking about the lion. Then he meets up with a snake and is saved from that. Now at that point, he forgets all about the wolf and all about the lion. And from now on, he's focusing on how the Eibishter saved him from the snake. So it is with the Jewish people. The later tzoris that we go through cause us to forget the earlier ones. That's what we're talking about. He was saved from the wolf. He was saved from the lion. So the memory of the miracle that we were saved from this tzora overshadows the previous.
That
one.
Was a miracle.
Now Maharsha mentions a couple of points over here. First of all, when you think about it, Mitzias Mitzrayim, you had tremendous nissin took place, but there was no chidur sha'olam. There was nothing new that was created in the world at that time. Even for example, Kriyas Yamsu, the expression by Yosha Bayom La Isonu, it's known that Hashem had made a t'nai with Ma'isa Bereshis that when the time comes, it's going to split. Mashenkin Mashiach is going to come. You have actually the pasuk is using the expression Oisa Kadosha. I'm making a new thing. You're going to have new things that never existed in the world before. Shamayim Kadosha and Ba'aretz Kadosha. So that's what he means by Oisa Kadosha. Then Ma'asha says, in this metaphor that we're talking about the various animals over here, so Mitzrayim is being compared to a wolf, Babel is being compared to a lion. We actually find a pasuk where Nebuchadnezzar is compared to a lion. And then the last one, the last golos that we're in now, which is 8, which is the golos Edom, is compared to a snake, which is also associated with the Samach Mem, which is in fact the Malach, the Sar of Esav. So then we're saying, and Ma'asha says, you think about it like this. Let's look at Jewish history. The time from when we had to tangle with the wolf in Mitzrayim and when we had to tangle with the lion in Babel, relatively speaking, those were not that far apart in history. There was less than 1,000 years between them. So when Golos Babel took place, everybody still well remembered and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the other hand, now we're in a Golos that's lasted 1,900 plus years. So now, by now, that's why in the metaphor we're saying shochach ma'isa shneim. By now, he's already forgotten all about the lion and all about the wolf and all about the lion. Those are already ancient history, and he's focusing only on the nachash, which is right now. So the same way we're saying that our golos has lasted so long that now we forget it in a certain sense. We forget all about the previous golos, and eventually when Mashiach comes, miyad mamash, then at that point, so we're going to be focusing. That's what the chachamim are saying over here. We're going to be focusing on the ness that we got out of this, that Hashem took us out of this golos. Not so much that we will never mention the other ones again, but they're going to recede in importance by comparison. Okay? Just like this guy, he was saved from the wolf, he was saved from the lion, but he's focusing mainly on how he was saved from the snake because that was the most recent and greatest thing. So therefore, so the Chacham is saying that yes, we will in fact mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, we'll also love it, and therefore we need the pasuk Kol Yemei Chayecha to tell us that. Well, it's more dangerous than the lion, seems to be the point, yeah. In particular, I mean, you have, for example, there's a Gemara in Tainus where it mentions that any other animal kills only when it's hungry, whereas a snake kills kind of just for the fun of it. Because of the kolag, in fact, actually, the Gemara says over there that the snake answers back. You're wondering why that is. Well, think of a Baal Lashon Hara. He doesn't necessarily get hanah from the Lashon Hara that he says either, and yet he does it. So don't be surprised that I act that way also. But the point is that, yeah, in a certain sense, a snake is more dangerous. A lion, you can throw it a piece of meat and it'll leave you alone. A snake, you can't necessarily do that.
They kill for the sport.
Yeah, they can. Okay. So the Rambam describes that Ba'oisa's man in the time of Mashiach there won't be famine, there won't be war. There will be a tremendous amount of good poured out onto the world. All delicacies will be as commonly available as the dust. So that means that Rebbe explains when everybody has what they need, there won't be any need for war. There won't be any cause for war anymore. What's war is a person wants. A person wants spoils, or a person wants land, or a person wants whatever resources that they don't have now. This is also what Yeshaya means when he says that everybody will beat their swords into plow blades, and lo yisagoy or goy cherev, no nation will lift up another sword against another nation because all of those weapons will be destroyed and all of those resources will be used for economic uses rather than for war. So in economics, they talk about that governments have there's guns and there's butter. It's hard for a government to supply both guns and butter. So in effect, what we're saying is that law said love, that they're going to be supplying butter and no longer be putting anything towards the guns.
Bread and butter is more important.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of butter and speaking then of kashrus of foods. So the next halacha, I think I'll skip. It's something about that chickens that have had a certain kind of operation done on them and whether they're kosher or not. And practically speaking, I don't know if they do that now. But anyway, there's a couple of things over there involving matters of kashrus of animals. One of them that's negea kind of actually he mentions something about an animal that sometimes gets bloated by too much food and they have to puncture its stomach with a needle to get out the gas, and you have questions about that. So there is actually a big issue that came up with that about 20 or 25 years ago where taka you have in many places in the world, you have that issue where the cow is blowed up and they have to puncture him with a needle, and you get into whole questions of treifus, and you get into the question of whether the milk from such animals is kosher. So to make a long story short, it's complicated. As much as possible now, in, as I understand it, in kosher to dairy herds, they do their best to avoid having to do that. They use other methods. They give them antibiotics, or they give them whatever in order to avoid the issue in the first place. But if you have, then you may indeed have a shayla. As I understand it, the kashrus agencies, when they give a heksher on milk, then they keep that in mind, and then won't give a heksher if you have such issues.
In Israel, there could be losses of millions and millions of liters of milk for Shabbos.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, Shabbos is something else, but yeah, that's a different matter. Yeah. Okay.